everyone. I'm Colleen Williams from the Channel 4 Newsroom. We'll be going back to Conan in just a couple of minutes. Right now in New York, though, Conan is doing a comedy routine about trains crashing. And we feel with our recent train collision here in Southern California, it is just not appropriate for us to show it. In the meantime, though, here are some of the stories making news this morning.
It is going. What's up, guys? It's the Lars.
So, what do we talk about? Dark Knight?
Sure. Yeah, we can talk about Dark Knight. We can talk about A Christmas Story. Remember when we went and saw that one during this break?
Yeah, we saw a billion movies.
We saw Citizen Kane.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know what we're going to talk about.
Oh, got all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I know. But, like, I don't think we're going to have a format.
Okay, good.
I mean, I don't have a movie to suggest to anyone.
I think we could do...
I mean, there's movies I could suggest to people, but we don't have to specifically do a stick it in your queue segment.
Nah, I mean, this is like our first show in, like, what, 2 months?
2 months.
And we're not going to have another one for who knows how long?
It is... Hold on, let me check. Yeah, we're like 3 days shy of 2 months.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
I think we're fine. We'll do it without a format.
Yeah.
But you could do Dark City if you want to do a queue segment.
We could talk about Dark City. I would suggest Dark City to people.
Yeah.
I bought Dark City on Blu-ray, sight unseen. The cover is awesome.
Yeah.
And then you've talked about it before. So based on me hearing that you probably recommended to me maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That I decided to buy it. And because it's Blu-ray, so I'll buy anything on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I mean, you're expanding the collection.
Yeah, I got Eraser on Blu-ray.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you're working toward getting all of the Arnold movies.
Yeah, and I thought Eraser was going to be the last one, and it was on sale for $13. So I'm like, well, fuck it, I'm going to get Eraser.
Score.
And then, of course, sitting right next to it, apparently came out that week was End of Days.
Oh, had you forgotten, or did you just...
No, I just did. I guess I didn't know that it was out already. Like, My Blu-ray updating has not been that great. Like, I just found out that Transformers was coming out. Well, I knew it was coming out.
Right.
But I didn't realize when it was coming out until, like, 3 days before it came out.
What sources are you using? Are you using, like, digital bits?
I go on digital bits, and usually they put up stuff really early. And then you can click the link of the album art or DVD art,
right?
It'll take you to Amazon,
right?
I'll just update my wish list so that I kind of keep track, but I never do that anymore. Like, I don't do it as much. So, like, I'll go on Ain't It Cool News, and Harry Knowles will say, "This is what's out on DVD this week."
That's
and
good.
Be like, oh shit,
that's a useful resource. But then you don't find out about it.
I don't
until,
get
like,
that
Tuesday.
Anticipation. Yeah, but so like Transformers was like a couple days before. Something is coming out on Blu-ray really soon that I was like, I didn't know that. Like, I don't know what it was.
Are the Blu-ray releases, are they like DVDs where if you go and get them like the week they came out, it's cheaper?
Yes.
For a while, at least?
Yeah, at least at Fry's. I think I got Transformers for like $22.99, marked down from like $34.
Yeah, I know like at Best Buy, it'll be cheaper from that Tuesday till like that Friday.
Yeah.
If that, you know?
I think Fry's goes a full week. And then Fry's is usually cheaper. I find that their selection is really pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, they have completely wiped out all of their HDs, so that whole aisle
is now
all Blu-ray.
Yeah, my roommate, number one ultraviolet fan.
Yeah, is that on Blu-ray yet? Did he get it?
If it is, I should buy it for him his Blu-ray loving ass.
Christmas.
But he'll go to Fry's and just he came back last week with all of the Jack Ryan movies.
Yeah.
Like, just like, here you go.
It's like Fry's. I can usually get two Blu-rays for under $40.
Not bad.
A fries. No, not at all.
And you want to have them.
What did I get? I got...
I see you got Disturbia. That hadn't been sight unseen.
No, I had actually seen it. Stevie hadn't seen it. I like that movie.
Really?
Yeah, and she really enjoyed it, too. Our tastes in movies, I think we're very forgiving.
Right.
If it's pretty decently made.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, we're not just like...
You're not like me.
Yeah, I mean... But, I mean, you still know what's bad.
Yeah. If I appreciate a film, even though it's bad, I still have the capacity to know that it's not well put together.
Yeah, but...
Or not a good movie. You got Flight of the Phoenix?
That was a freebie.
Well...
The five free that I got with the Blu-ray savings that you mailed away for. Yeah. The only, like, decent one was Pirates, which was the two-disc.
Did they have Superman?
Superman, yeah, but I mean, it's all right.
It's all right. Did you see Flight of the Phoenix yet?
Yeah. I opened all of them, and I got SWAT, and I did not open Devil's Rejects yet.
So that's the one that you haven't seen
I should have got Species, because I think Species was in the same category.
I've seen Species. I saw that in the theaters, so it would be like a nostalgia kick.
Yeah, but I haven't. But I saw Species, like, on video.
Mm.
I don't know. But yeah, Fry's had like good deals. I got last week, the week before, I got another. Oh, I got Starship Troopers for $13.
Yeah, we watched that one on like a couple weeks ago. I like that movie.
Yeah,
a lot.
It's a good movie. I realized that the bugs necessarily aren't the bad guys.
Yeah, you just realized that?
I guess I haven't watched it in a really long time.
Uh huh.
But so I never really thought of it. I just think of Starship Troopers is, oh, that's Starship Troopers. I'm going to have fun watching it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really spend a lot of thought, you know, on Starship Troopers because I don't, I mean, it's not really meant to be that way. But I was sitting there watching him like, you know, the bugs really don't do anything to the humans, really.
There's at least an element of that, like an element of doubt. There's some reporter, I think it's the reporter, says, some people say we should leave the bugs alone, and they didn't start attacking until we, you know,
colonized
their
planet, yeah.
Yeah. But then the best counter argument to that is, I'm from Buenos Aires, and I say kill them all.
It's so weird. Like,
so if you want to think about it, you know, philosophically, you have to take into account the Buenos Aires angle. Whereas they might have not be aggressive, I still think they are going to continue breeding and moving out, and eventually you're going to have to deal with them.
Like but we went to their place first.
Yeah, I know.
Like in the huge galaxy, why would they just pick on us?
Preemptive strike. You know, if you just leave them to their own devices, they're going to, you know, eat up resources.
That sounds like the FedNet has gotten to you. You have definitely
signed up. I do
want to
know more. Wow. The idea of a bug that thinks is offensive. Yeah.
I don't remember what the lady said to counter argue that.
I think she went, oh! Afterwards, I listened to the score on my phone. Basil Poledouris.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good score.
The one thing with the Blu-ray that's not on the DVD is the isolated score with commentary.
That's cool.
Which kind of bums me out.
What?
No, because it's not on the Blu-ray. It's on the DVD,
but
not on the Blu-ray.
I heard it backwards.
Which sucks because he's totally dead. So unless I get a copy of the DVD, I'll never get to hear that. So
I have that on DVD.
I don't know if it's the version
it
with that.
It might not be the...
Because they released like three of them, and I think... That was the most recent one. I think you got an earlier version.
Yeah, I know. I've had mine for a while.
Totally blows.
That sucks. I mean, when we went to Comic-Con, which is something we haven't talked about, when we went to Comic-Con, they were saying that isolated score is something that they started doing, and then like the music rights companies were like, hey, knock it off. And that's why you don't see it so much anymore.
Kind of sucks.
They were like, hey, why don't we do this? It's a fun special feature.
I just want to watch the DVD and listen to the score. It's not like I'm taking the music and playing it on a podcast or anything.
No, I wouldn't. I can't imagine that the technology exists for you to do that. So. I don't see why anyone would be afraid of that happening.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't move that fast technologically speaking. I use my handbrake to stop all kinds of technology from going at me too fast.
That's good. That's good. Ultraviolet Fan says that he's getting Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2 on Blu-ray.
Good. I'm going to borrow it because Stevie has been bugging the shit out of me to get the DVDs. And I said, no, we got to wait.
I was waiting. I wanted a box set. I wanted something.
And then the Blu-ray came out. And I guess Blu-rays, because there's two of them.
Yeah.
And then...
Still not a box set.
I said, hey, Kill Bill. But the thing is, now, Matt's probably not going to listen to this, which is good. Let him bite the bullet.
He knows.
The Blu-ray movies don't really have that much many features on it. And they're like $27.
Exactly.
On sale. So it's like, why would I spend $27 times two?
Right.
On...
However much that might be.
On movies when I know there's a better version out there. And...
Like, on the
just,
way?
It's just waiting. Eventually. Yeah.
It's gotta happen.
Have you seen the Japanese box set for Grindhouse?
No.
Dude, it's fucking phenomenal.
Really?
It's like all the movies, all the trailers, like the longer cuts in one box set. It's like has all kinds of cool like shit inside. And it's totally for Japan.
Only for Japan.
Yeah.
That sucks. Like, do you happen to know, I mean, maybe you don't know this detail, but where are all the trailers? Are they all on separate discs, or are they on, like, a bonus disc?
I don't know. If I remember correctly, and I probably am not, it was presented as it was.
See, that would be ideal.
Yeah.
And then I could watch it and, you know, turn it off when it got to Death Proof.
That's the thing, is though, like, just... do the entire Kill Bill, because they have this thing that Quentin Tarantino keeps talking about called The Whole Bloody Affair, which is like scenes that weren't in either of the movies put back in, and then everything combined to make like 1 5-hour long movie.
Which is like, according to legend, the original cut before he decided to make two movies.
So DVDs have chapters.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like... it's not like, I can't sit here and watch all of this.
No.
You know, just put it out. Put it out as one big giant set.
You know what? I could stop it. If I can't handle it, I could stop it halfway through and watch the next in 3 months.
And then Blu-ray has this, has the technology to do branching, seamless branching.
Yeah, what's that?
Okay, I have Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Okay.
On one disc, you have three versions of the movie.
Okay.
Which on DVD would mean... you know, dual layer pauses, which would mean loss in quality because you have three different versions of the film. What Blu-ray does is have one super long movie, one super long Close Encounters with every cut from each version of the film in it.
Huh.
But when you click on whichever version you want to see, as the movie's going, it kind of edits to meet... the one you picked.
Wow. Okay, so like, say the movie's like 100 chapters with the full version.
Yeah.
And the theatrical cut version skips from chapter 29 to chapter 33.
Yeah.
It just makes that skip like seamlessly while you're
and
watching.
And you will never notice.
That's
it's
really
like any
cool.
Edit in the film.
That's like, that's not how I would, I don't know if I would use the word branching.
That's
like
I
the opposite of branching. It's like branches coming down to a single thing.
Well, they're the branches, and you're watching the trunk.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, with something like Kill Bill, put the whole freaking thing on,
and then
also make it an option to watch Kill Bill Volume 2 theatrical,
Kill Bill Volume 1. Yeah.
Or even have, like, the director's cut of Volume 1 where the 88 leaves is in color.
Shit, they could do all of that.
Yeah. That's why it's like... why would I buy... because I know Quentin wants to release this, and I know it's up to him to produce it and put it out.
Yeah.
So I'd be willing to wait to spend, you know, $50 on an awesome box set that has everything I want, as opposed to two $27...
nothings.
Yeah.
Just the movies. And by the way, if you wanted it that bad, you would have it by now.
Yeah.
You've already waited.
And that's what the thing is. Even if I were to get these versions, is it something I would want to watch over and over again?
No.
Like, it would be... I like the movies, and it would be enough for Clark to pick them up and then let me borrow them for once.
Right.
And then get it out of my system, and then...
That'll make it easier.
Then wait until...
Yeah.
I've been going to FYE... which stands for Your Entertainment. I guess they bought out all the warehouse music chains. And you can buy and trade and sell used movies.
Oh, cool.
So, like, I took Bottle Rocket. I'm like, everyone I know has it.
Has it. And you're
and
getting...
I'm not going to watch it again before the Blu-ray comes out next month.
Right.
So I just traded in like right away.
Cool.
So now I have like credit towards when I buy a Bottle Rocket.
Very cool, yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's like, I'll just wait.
It's like a virtual warehouse, like the way the warehouse used to be with used CDs.
Yeah.
But you don't have to go to a specific location and hope you find something. You just use like their giant searchable databases and shit?
No, they have stores.
Fucking awesome. That's cool.
That's where I go. It's actually right by my work.
Very cool.
It's by the, you know, the Rubies in the Fullerton?
Yeah, yeah, on Orange Thorpe.
Yeah, it's right there.
Okay, cool.
So it was at that warehouse that used to be there. Yeah, and I could just walk in. I walked in with, like, I had the Matrix individual movies still, and now I have the box set, but I'm like, I don't need these Matrix movies because I have the they're double dipped. Any like I have Hellboy on Blu-ray now.
Yeah,
I don't need this copy of Hellboy.
That makes perfect sense. Might as well get something out of it. I mean, you paid for it.
I got some sweet ass movies out of it. I got Be Kind, Rewind. I got Good Night, Good Luck. I got Predator.
Cool.
So, yeah,
I saw Be Kind, Rewind.
What'd you think?
You know, I liked it. I thought it was gonna go more places.
Uh-huh.
It was just really kind of light, I thought. Like, not like light and hearty, just like
this.
It barely
weird.
Happened.
It's weird. Me and Stevie have been really enjoying the movies that I've been buying blindly.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good streak.
Good Night and Good Luck was fucking phenomenal.
I've heard great things.
You can borrow it.
Okay.
But for some reason, the special features don't work. But Be Kind, Rewind, we sat here and we just like loved it.
Yeah.
Flat out loved it.
100%.
I don't know if it's we're forgiving of movies or we just decide not to have expectations of what we think it's going to be.
That helps a lot.
Because we watched it and just kind of fell for it. Like the whole, it's like a weird fantasy.
It
is. Like it's not, it doesn't take place in our reality.
Right.
Like people at junkyards don't wear colanders on their heads just for no reason.
Yeah, they set it up early and it's got that great Michel Gondry stamp of weirdness and surreality, but and it's not that I had high expectations. It's just it didn't gel for me for some reason or other.
I like that it had that 80s film cliche of trying to save the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So it was, I don't know, it was like a weird fantasy homage to 80s movies.
I could see that one improving for me on multiple viewings.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's not that I disliked it. I guess I thought I was going to like it more.
And then there's like what they don't mention in like trailers and stuff is like the Fats Waller thing.
Yeah.
Like that's what it's mainly about.
About, yeah.
The jazz musician.
It is kind of all over the place too, though. There's like a lot of different threads. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not against it.
Yeah.
I saw Burn After Reading.
How was that?
A similar kind of scenario is I liked it. I want to like it more, and I just don't know why it didn't gel for me.
Huh.
But I did like that one. Brad Pitt was great.
You didn't compare it to like Big Lebowski or anything? Were you sitting there thinking?
I wasn't sitting there thinking that.
Okay, that's cool.
Although I'll admit, when I saw the trailer, I thought that it might be like that.
That's the thing with the Coen brothers. They're like it's so funny that like they're dark, violent movies get like all kinds of praise, yet like their lighter movies don't seem to get as much praise.
Yeah, like it's as though critics feel that by being frivolous or silly, it just doesn't count as much.
Like if my job's doing films, like, and I just did No Country for Old Men, which I haven't seen yet, but I'm assuming it's very dark. Very
dark, gritty,
like hard, like very dramatic.
Very dramatic.
That, you know what? I feel like taking it easy and doing something different.
Maybe do something.
And like that's like what their movies are. They go from like,
they go from Blood Simple and Barton Fink to Raising Arizona.
Yeah, yeah. It's like
they do Fargo and then Big Lebowski. Like,
yeah.
Essentially, I mean, I don't know if I'm getting the timeline right, but yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think Big Lebowski was after Fargo, and I think that's why a lot of critics didn't like Big Lebowski, because they're like, oh, the Coen brothers finally matured with Fargo, and it won all kinds of awards, and here they made, like, an aging stoner comedy.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know. Their movies are
valid.
So all over the map.
It's equally as valid, I would think. I see what you're saying. We just watched The Big Lebowski like last Friday.
Uh huh.
Because it takes place in September.
Uh huh.
Like at the very beginning, you know, the dude post dates that check.
Yeah.
For September 11, and it's like September 7th when that happens or something. It's hard to find the timeline exactly. So we thought, in honor of the events of that film, we'd watch it again. I love that movie, dude. I can't stop it.
I've been watching it a long time.
It's been a while for me, too, because I got to the point where it's like, I don't want to burn myself out on it.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't yet, but I'm just don't want to tempt fate.
I find myself watching less. Like, I'm not watching any DVDs.
Yeah, just all Blu-ray?
Yeah. I mean, how many do we have? Mike's borrowing, like, two of them. So how many do you think we have there? Like,
I would say at least
40-something?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I mean, I just, there's something about now having, like, the HD, like, fully going where it's like, fuck DVDs. Like, I would be like, you know what? Big Lebowski's eventually coming out on Blu-ray. I know
just
this for a
watch
fact.
It then.
I should just go trade in my other one.
Yeah, I hear you.
Like, it's just one of those things where I'm getting to the point where I want to shrink my DVD shelf to make room for Blu-ray. Like, there's some things I'll never give up, like my Criterion.
The Criterions.
And like, my signed DVDs or my, like, rare, like, numbered DVDs. But for the most part...
Anything else is
I would want them in Blu-ray.
Yeah. But is that going to happen? Is Blu-ray ever going to be, like, fully side-by-side? Or is it still going to be kind of a niche?
Based on my personal experience, it looks like Blu-ray is flourishing faster than DVD.
Okay.
Because I got my DVD player like early 97 when it was brand new.
Yeah.
And it took a while for DVDs to come out.
Yeah.
But Blu-ray already has its own aisle in Fry's, so.
That's true.
And I heard that it's supposed to be, you know, going crazy.
So is it going to be such a point at some time where maybe they don't sell DVDs, do you think, or...
I think, do they still sell video cassettes?
I think they probably do.
Yeah, I think
that's
they
the kind
do.
Of thing that I don't know, but I'm sure they probably do.
I think
do.
They do, and I think, I'm sure they would still sell DVDs. Because, you know why, is that DVDs still play in Blu-ray players?
Yeah.
I think it's...
But the price isn't that much different.
No, Blu-ray, I've noticed, has gone down substantially.
Yeah, and they never really got around to bringing DVD prices down. I mean, sure, you can get them cheap like the first day or if you wait a long time.
Yeah.
But their standard price is like still like $50 for a season of TV.
Yeah.
It's not much more for Blu-ray, is it?
I got Lost Season 3 for, I think, $60.
Yeah, it seems like that one I know has special features that the other one doesn't have.
Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully. I mean, if people are saying that Blu-ray costs as much as DVD... And then with TV changing to HD or whatever in February, I have a feeling people are just going to flat out go and buy new TVs. Because even the, like, my HD TV, which I got 2 years ago, was only like $899 at the time.
That's not bad.
And it's a pretty good TV. I mean, you were commenting on it earlier. And
yeah, it looks awesome.
So it with the prices totally awesome. on that junk going down, dude, Blu-rays are going to be awesome. I hope so. At least I know that HD is not going to beat it out.
Right.
Because Fry's is selling those for like $4.
Just burning bucks. Off the stock.
Yep. So, I don't know. I'm excited. You know what DVDs I have been watching?
What?
For no particular reason.
What?
One every week for the last 15 weeks.
Oh, yes, I do know.
Okay, so I'm watching The Living Daylights last weekend. The movie is a billion times better than, like, the three previous Roger Moore films.
So it's like a breath of fresh air?
It's beyond a breath of fresh air. It's like, it's almost insulting to watch the other ones. As a viewer, I feel insulted watching James Bond in a clown suit trying to defuse a bomb in a circus tent.
Right.
It's just... It's so heinous. And then, like, Living Daylights is so good.
Is it, so does it, like, did it, like, redeem the franchise in a way?
I don't know.
Who knows what the climate was at the time?
Because here's the thing, like, every time James Bond goes way too far, they always try to you know, make it more grounded.
Bring it in.
So, which was going to be the last Connery movie, You Only Live Twice, has a hollowed out volcano.
Right.
And spaceships swallowing other spaceships. And
right.
James Bond, you know, with ninjas. a little far-fetched. So the one that came after that was like, all right, let's rethink our strategy. So they made Honor Majesty's Secret Service, which had one gadget.
Right.
Then you had Moonraker in 1979, which James Bond actually went to space.
Yeah.
And shot lasers.
And Jaws jumps from space to the ground.
Yeah, there's like, it's ridiculous. Yeah, so yeah. Once again, they think to themselves, all right.
All right, let's rein it in.
So they do For Your Eyes Only, which is like no gadgets, whatever. And then so it's like, oh, cool, Roger Moore's back on a thing. And then the next one's Octopussy, and then he's in the clown suit. And then the next one's after that is View to a Kill, and he's fighting Grace Jones on, and they're trying to flood Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
By creating an earthquake. And it's just like, how little, like, how soon they just are like, we need to make it crazy.
They just ramp it up.
And then, so yeah, after View to a Kill is Living Daylights, which does have a gadget car, does have an Aston Martin with gadgets, but it's cool, and yeah. But it doesn't take away from the story, which is, you know, all about a defector from Russia. And
classic spy stuff, really.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so it's, I don't know if it reinvigorated the franchise, but it definitely gave it a little bit more class that it was lacking.
So it was another, it's not just like, this is a return to form, it's one of their periodic return to form that
yes.
they do from time to time.
Which also happened with Casino Royale, because in Die Another Day, there's a giant satellite that's shooting a laser at the world.
Right.
It's like, seriously?
And there's ice driving.
We already did that one.
A flooding palace. And
so, yeah, Casino Royale, once again, all right.
And the gadgets in Casino Royale are stuff that we have now.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part. That was like,
yeah, it's like he uses his cell phone.
Yeah, he hacks into a computer system and like scans for GPS signals. And it's like, it was odd watching that because the fact that it's rebooted the franchise, that it's like Bond's first case, apparently, is hard to reconcile with having watched all the other Bond films.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's taking place now instead of in the 60s.
But it's, yeah, but the thing is, it's Diner of the Day leaves such a bad taste in your mouth when you watch them in order.
Yeah.
That you're like, oh, thank God.
Oh,
anything. There's no gun barrel at the logo. Whatever.
Who cares? Just run after that guy. Punch him.
Yes. Don't CG after him. Don't be on a parachute flying away from a CG tidal wave.
I really like Casino Royale, dude.
I know, and it's coming out on Blu-ray. I gave my DVD to my father-in-law.
Cool.
I have given him every single James Bond movie ever.
Cool.
He got my VHS tapes when I got the DVDs.
Uh-huh.
And then for like every consecutive Christmas, we get him the latest one. So I think we got him the tape of The World Is Not Enough, because I've been going out with Stevie for coming up on 9 years.
Yeah.
Then got him the DVD for Die Another Day, and then just gave him Casino Royale.
Cool.
But that's
and
coming
out. And the Quantum of Solace is out in like, what, 5-6 weeks?
The 14th of November. It got pushed back a week. Did you hear about that?
No, I did not.
Well, if you're a guy like me and you have a very precise schedule on watching James Bond movies.
One a week.
You don't want one. You won't want the newest one to be pushed back a week.
No, you don't.
Now I have a week of nothing.
You got to watch Never Say Never.
I will not.
What's the other one? There's another one, right?
There's Casino Royale, the David Niven one or something.
You can watch that.
Yeah. I could watch the Casino Royale, is it Barry Nelson? The Barry Nelson version, the TV show where it's Jimmy Bond. It's like an hour-long TV show.
I'm not familiar with that, but or you could get a bye week. Just give yourself a bye week.
Ah, but what? That's not fun.
Watch the Austin Powers?
No. I don't. Maybe I'll watch Layer Cake. I haven't seen that movie.
That one's all right.
Daniel Craig's in that.
Yeah, that one's all right.
I should watch Layer Cake between Die Another Day and Casino Royale. I'm thinking of having people over for Casino Royale the week before.
Yeah.
A, because it's going to be on the new Blu-ray with like the 3-disc Blu-ray.
Okay.
Which is coming out. And then also, the story, Quantum of Solace is a direct sequel.
So you need to be up on the events.
You want to like kind of, even though you've seen it a few times.
And you wanted to do Transporter. How's that going to work?
Transporter.
The 3 weeks of Frank Martin.
No, Transporter, I think, because because it comes out November 14th, which I'm probably going to see on the 14th, which is a Friday.
Okay.
Transporter comes out, 3 comes out on Thanksgiving, so November 16th, which is a Sunday, we could watch Transporter 1. The following weekend, we can watch Transporter 2.
Yeah.
And then Thursday?
Right? Thanksgiving is the 27th.
So we have how many days?
So we
13 days?
Between... If it comes out on... Yeah, you have 13 days between the...
So, yeah, we watch it on the
16th.
And then the following weekend.
And then the 23rd, and then the 27th, yeah.
Yeah.
That works.
3 weeks of Frank Martin.
I can't wait for the 2 weeks of Chev Chelios.
Oh, shit. That's going to be Crank for 2 straight weeks every day Crank 2 comes out.
What we got to do is like the 6 hours of Chev Chelios. We have to watch Crank and then go to the movie theater.
Okay. Did I show you the pictures from the set of Crank 2?
No.
I
emailed to me or something.
I don't want to spoil it.
Oh, okay.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to make it our album artwork this week.
Sweet.
So if you've looked at our album artwork. I'm going to go ahead and tell you about it because it's fucking phenomenal. Stevie's like, hey, I really like looking at this so-and-so's Hollywood backlot. It's some guy who takes pictures at movies, but all like super fancy style. Like he visits the set for one day.
And then he does like crazy photography.
He's like, oh, they did Crank 2. Awesome. So I open it up and it's Chev Chelios.
What?
Standing like sumo, not sumo style, but he's like ready to fight this other guy. Surrounded by miniature power lines.
What?
Jason Statham has a gigantic, prosthetic, cartoony Jason Statham head on. So it's like a Godzilla fight where they have rubber heads that look like their own heads, but cartoony versions. I'll show you after the show, but
that's awesome.
Check the album art now.
You know, that's just like...
It's either a dream sequence or the movie elevates to that point, which me being a huge Godzilla fan... If Chev Chelios electrocutes his heart so much that he turns into a gigantic monster,
yeah,
I'm fucking fine with that.
You're okay with that?
I am. If that's where Crank elevates itself, I am fine with that.
You would even be okay with the crossover. Godzilla versus Crank.
No, I would be okay with Crank 3. Where he... Who knows? He's a giant
Mothra
monster in space.
And Gamera. Yeah,
but yes, I would definitely love to see a Chev Chelios.
I'm okay with the Transporter 3 if he starts flying. And bullets bounce off of him. I'm okay with that.
That's the thing is, once that as soon as he flips his car and knocks the bomb out from underneath with the crane.
Which is Transporter 2, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you can do anything.
Yeah.
Like, who cares? By this point,
I'm with
you spent your money.
You're already
in the theater.
Yeah, yeah.
I guarantee you, anybody that goes to see Transporter 3 and Frank is flying around with his customer on his back or his fare, that people are going to come out of that movie and say, dude, you got to see Transporter 3.
I can't wait for Transporter 4. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I don't know. Like, I could see it being a dream sequence, but if for some reason they decide to go all out and make him a giant.
You'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
It's probably like... I could see it's more likely it's going to be like just how he's seeing the world at that moment. Like
his hallucinations.
Dwight Yoakam on the side of the wall there or like all that that's that Haitian shit, man. But fucking A, dude. Oh, I'm down.
You have to see these pictures. They're fucking hilarious.
Dude, you got to email it to me. That's that. I saw Live Free or Die Hard. I saw a little bit of that yesterday on HBO.
Was it the unrated?
I don't know what they're showing on HBO. Okay. I don't know. Oh, shit. I want to see the unrated version of that.
Yeah, it's not available on Blu-ray. It's only available on DVD. So
I think I'll put that in my queue.
Keep my fingers crossed for a nice Die Hard 4-disc set.
I completely forgot about that. I liked that movie, but I'd forgotten about how great it probably would be.
My boss said he saw it.
Yeah?
And he said it feels more like a Die Hard movie.
That's all it is.
He said it's the same movie. It's just cursing.
That's better.
And he said it feels like a Die Hard movie.
Just like... the reason I bring it up is that movie, too, kind of goes into the realm of cartoony comic book.
Yeah.
But I don't care. Like, I've seen John McClane get beaten up.
Yeah.
That's fine. Now he can fly and
jump on planes.
Chop down helicopters and fuck it. I don't care.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. That's why I'm excited about Transformers 2, because there's probably Constructicons.
Man, fucking, if anyone, Michael Bay can handle that shit, that'll be fine. I was watching Transformers today. That movie's awesome. I was watching it, and then I fell asleep, and all I dreamt about were car chases and hacking. Like, I had to hack into someone else's desk at work, and I didn't know what I was doing, and also I got into a car chase, and I totally knew what I was doing. So,
I've been having weird dreams where it's like whatever movie I've been watching.
Yeah.
But not. But luckily not Dark City, which we didn't even mention Dark City. We're saying we should talk about it.
Yeah.
So I bought Dark City Sight Unseen.
Sounds good.
Oh,
this is where it came in.
I really, really enjoyed the movie. Now, I highly recommend that all of you people who are Lost fans are going to enjoy this movie and try to figure it out, probably. Like, yeah. It's definitely, since there's no Lost on and we still have like a week or so before TV comes out again, yeah. Check out the director's cut. Definitely the director's cut.
Yes.
I don't know if they have a director's cut on DVD.
I had a version of it, which was New Line Platinum.
Okay.
Which is pretty high grade for the time, but that was like 6-7 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So if you don't have the director's cut, hit mute at the beginning of the movie.
I would say hit mute for the first.
Go on IMDb. There's something on IMDb that says when to stop hitting mute. I don't remember.
Because what happened was, it's a very bizarre movie.
It's a mystery.
And it's a mystery, and it's you definitely, when it starts, have no idea what's going on.
And it unfolds itself for you, and the journey is important and fun, and part of the artistic vision of the film.
Yeah.
But what happened to it
was that the studio stepped in and said, this is too confusing.
Yeah.
And they were forced to put narration at the beginning, which gives you everything that's going to happen instead of you being able to figure it out on your own.
Gives away the entire plot. And by the way, it gives away something that you do find out an hour and a half later.
Yeah.
It's thought that you would never find it out.
The director, Alex Perez, said during the test screenings, people said they were confused. He got up, went down to the people that were answering the questions for the test audience, and he asked them, were you confused by the end of the movie? And they all said no, they weren't.
Like, at that point, they knew what was up.
So I don't understand where the studio was coming from. Was it like, oh, these people are going to get confused and walk out of the middle of the movie?
And ask for our other money back? I don't know.
It didn't make sense.
Execs.
But anyway, watch the director's cut of Dark City. I thoroughly enjoy the movie.
Yes, that movie was awesome.
There's naked boobies in it.
For those of
you that are into that, Jennifer Connelly's in it.
But not her naked boobies.
Not her naked boobies. Her eyebrows are in it.
Her eyebrows are in it.
William Hurt.
William Hurt is good. He was low-key. Yeah. But, like, he plays it really.
I was sitting there watching the scene between William Hurt and Jennifer Connelly, and I'm like, hey, that's Betsy Ross. And, hey, that's General Ross from the other movie.
Good call.
I forget his first name. General? Is it General Ross, right?
Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
That's, like, his nickname. Alan? I don't know. Thunderbolt. I'm happy I came up with Thunderbolt.
Yeah, I don't know much about Hulk
other than
the movies.
I didn't read a lot of Hulk comics.
But, yeah, I thought that was cool. It was a great movie. I really enjoyed it. If you haven't seen it, I recommend the director's cut of Dark City.
Which we just watched the Blu-ray. Matt got it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it was sight unseen for him. I would have
no,
to ask.
No, he told me he'd seen it.
Okay. He probably saw it with me because I've watched that movie a couple times over the years. The DVD had one of those games where, like, you go and, like typically there's like a odd piece of artwork on a screen if that's an Easter egg.
Yeah.
But the game is you have to go to the Easter egg type things in order.
Oh yeah.
To unlock something. It's called Find Shell Beach because you know the whole part of the movie is trying to get Shell Beach. So it's like you go to one thing and it like asks you a question. It's like, well, what about this? And you have to go and find that prop on another screen.
Uh-huh.
I could never fucking get it to work. I don't know if it was just broken on my DVD or.
Did you ever go online and?
Yeah.
And you.
I knew what I was supposed to do next, and I just could not get it to work.
Huh.
So
did it say online what was supposed to happen? It's just a picture that says, welcome to Shell Beach.
Yeah. No, I don't know what was supposed to happen. I can look that up. I could pop it in the DVD player and see if maybe now with a clearer head I can do it.
Yeah.
Might be worth figuring out. But whatever it is, I'm sure it's on the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever it is.
I don't... maybe. The Blu-ray doesn't have too much.
Really?
Yeah. But
is there
I mean,
a making of or something?
Not really. There's like a retrospect, like kind of some stories, and they kind of talk about how, like the philosophy of it, and they say how it got made, like how it got to the point of being made, like
not the
all the hoops they had to jump through to get to making the movie. But I don't think they actually have any like production photos or production like kind of video or
no.
Like, this is how we did this shot.
We
just tells you how they got to that point.
We watched it, and Harmony had not seen it, and she liked it. And she said that it reminded her of a movie that she watched a lot, which I told you about, called City of Lost Children.
Yeah.
That movie, I Netflixed it when she told me, and I bumped it to the top of the queue. It's creepy and hard to follow and really cool.
Is it one of those movies where you're just like, I'm fucking lost, and then it all kind of falls into place? Or do you really have to think about it to make it work?
It's one of those, you have to think about it. Like, nothing really, they don't really tie it up in a bow. It's just, it's kind of like, you know how sometimes in wacky movies where it just stops being wacky halfway through?
Uh-huh.
Like, Crank didn't do that, but I could see that happening. Where, you know, there's like...
Shoot 'em Up did it.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever see Shoot 'em Up?
No. But
okay.
I'm
yeah.
Or like Romeo and Juliet. It's like, oh, look at all these weird camera angles, and look, there's captions on the screen, and oh, we're freeze framing, and now the color change, and then it stops. Like they gave up, or they just like, okay, we got them.
Yeah.
Or maybe, oh, that's only a first act thing. It's like that in a way, because it starts off and you're just like, what the fuck is going on? And it's French, and I don't know if some of it makes sense to French people and it doesn't to me, or if it's just all weird and it's like nightmare and dream, and like there's clones running around. Like one of the first scenes has six clones running around, and you're like, I don't know how I'm supposed to know that that's what that is. And then that kind of stops and the story emerges.
Uh-huh.
But it keeps pulling in these elements, and then at one point, it does kind of tie it together, but also if you think about it, you can figure out what else is happening that got you there.
Yeah.
And it is similar to City of Lost Children in a way, because there's like these shadowy dudes running around the city that are like the strangers.
Uh-huh.
They're similar to the strangers in a couple ways. And if you feel like this city is totally encapsulated,
uh-huh.
You don't know where they are or how they got there, and it doesn't seem like anyone cares. And it's nighttime throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
And it's weird, all the elements that are around them. It's as though a circus, a traveling sideshow stopped in this town and just built up the town around them.
Yeah.
And a lot of those elements are still there.
Huh.
Well, it's interesting. I liked it a lot. Tough to follow at first.
Oh, yeah.
And Ron Perlman's in it.
Yeah,
And he speaks French in the film in the original dub,
uh-huh.
But he learned it phonetically.
Okay,
so he doesn't speak French. But apparently, the character is Russian,
mm-hmm.
So it kind of works because
he doesn't need to have a perfect accent.
Yeah, you have to. He has to sound like he doesn't know what he's saying in the first place.
Huh.
So that was good.
Sweet
City of Lost Children.
Check it out.
I'll
check it out.
Shit, dude, we went to Comic-Con. That was fun.
I know. It's, I don't know. I don't.
Well, we don't have to wrap that up too much.
I mean, it
was good. We're going to go next year.
Definitely. This will be the last Lost panel. Well, at least for a new season.
They might have one for like
nerds
or like, Blu-ray or whatever.
Like, they still do Little Lulu gatherings. So
that's true.
Why wouldn't they do Lost? But I don't think I want to be that kind of fan.
No,
I don't want to be. I don't want to be the guy showing up. Like
30 years later.
Yeah.
Remember Lost?
It was that show that was on for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
They did not get any Emmys.
They did not. I didn't see if G Kino won or not. I don't know when they did those.
I thought I was reading a complete list, but then when I was finished reading it, I realized that I hadn't seen The Simpsons on there, and I know they won the Emmy for Outstanding Animated Program. John Adams got a bunch. 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Tina Fey and Alec Baldwin again.
Did you watch the whole ceremony?
No, I didn't watch any of it.
Dude, it was fucking heinous.
Really?
It was awful. Like 70s variety show, bad TV, awful.
Yeah. So right up Ryan's alley.
Yeah, but at least with those, you can look back and laugh.
That
but to actually be a person that's living in that time and being aware that it's bad is a totally different
thing. That's less fun. That's when you're thinking, this shouldn't be happening.
They did the in memoriam.
Oh, yeah.
Memoriam.
In Memoriam?
Yeah. And they had... they showed William F. Buckley.
William F. Buckley.
So I sent my I sent Ryan a text message that said, because I assumed he was watching it at the same time I was. I sent him a text message that said, William G. Buckley.
Judy Finkel.
Bob. All right, that's enough. You can all Google and listen and figure out what we're talking about.
You guys should know that one. I think we talked about it.
I don't think we have. I haven't even seen that movie. I've only seen parts.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it in a long time, but it made me laugh.
Because they don't, they never put it on DVD or anything.
You know what's funny? It's like a hidden 80s movie because it's the same. It should be the same as Back to School or fucking Summer School.
Else.
Or
yeah.
What's that?
Or anything else.
Anything else.
Yeah.
It's not like it's not a Skinamax movie. It's not.
Yeah.
Like it's
not any worse or any better. It doesn't.
It's the same as Teen Wolf, but it just didn't get as much.
Yeah.
Like, well, but like you and I, we were never really fans of what's that movie, Monster Squad?
Yeah, I never really watched. I watched it when I was a kid, but it didn't stick with me like something like Goonies.
Yeah, but people are out there who hold it as higher than Goonies. Like,
well, we should see if there's like a big man on campus, like
a big man on campus community out there.
Like, I'm sure there's a petition. Give us the DVD.
DVD it up, motherfuckers.
It might even be on DVD. I don't know.
I don't. It might. I'll check my Netflix.
I don't even know if it's funny. I only know it's funny like the few parts I've seen, like the few parts that were shown to me by friends who quote it nonstop.
Yeah.
I think this is the one thing that's quoted the most that I hadn't seen that I actually jumped on board.
That you yeah. would share in the quoting, but.
Like, I hear
it.
You guys saying, I'll stick my balls in it. I'm going to stick my balls in it. Like, for like 9 years. And then you guys, hey, Ralph, let's watch The State. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to dip my balls in it. I'm like, oh, you guys say that. But it's one of those things where, like, if I didn't hear it a billion times, then I would have been surprised by the joke.
Right.
But, like, with Big Man on Campus, Judy Finkel is fucking funny.
That's
no matter
hilarious.
Who says it.
The timing.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, I don't know, I can get on board with William G. Buckley.
Two faces.
Two faces.
Is Wall-E going to come out on Blu-ray anytime soon?
Yeah, it is.
Do you know when? Or?
I don't know. I don't even know what came out today. But I know I want it. I know I want it.
I got to get
Speed Racer.
That one would probably look
did
awesome.
Is Clark going to get Speed Racer?
I hope so.
I'm probably going to get Speed Racer. I'm just going to go get it because Stevie really wants it. I enjoyed the shit out of Speed Racer.
I heard great things. I was busy at the time.
You would have to, I would say, you got to watch it at my house, though.
Yeah.
Because.
I want to watch that one in as full. Because people told me to try to see it in the theaters because it's so big and brash and stuff is happening.
I heard even the theater, like digital projections don't do it justice.
Really?
But I have 1080, dude, and
yeah,
you gotta see it in 1080.
Yeah, get it and have me over. I'll watch that shit.
Yeah,
I was interested in seeing it, and I just didn't make it.
Didn't make it. You.
But I want Matt to get Wall-E on Blu-ray. I mean, I know he doesn't have the 1080, but
yeah,
the shit still looks pretty good.
Yeah,
now, that movie is awesome.
Yeah, I love my TV. I love it so much. And the good thing is that whenever they make 1120p or whatever they do next, this TV is like not too big to just like put in my room.
Just have it be
my
second backup TV. Yeah.
I don't know what I would do with my
But it's not too small to not be a good size for watching movies in the living room.
Oh, yeah.
Like with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
What is it?
42?
Yeah.
I mean, it fits... It fits our entertainment center perfectly.
Perfectly.
And, I mean, the couch is, you know, pretty close.
Yeah.
I mean, our couch is way closer than yours is to your TV.
That's true.
So, I think perspective-wise, if you move my couch up maybe another foot, it would be the same
It'd
size
be the same
as your
as,
TV.
Yeah, yeah. But it's better here because you can see more of the screen.
Yeah.
We got that Mario and Sonic at the Olympics game.
Oh, yeah?
We only played it like for that one day. It was just me, Harmony, and like Matt and James. Well, I don't think we've had like a chance for people to come over and play it, but we should totally play that one next time.
I found out that yesterday on the virtual console, Super Dodgeball came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
now
awesome.
That's a game that you should download and we should play all the time.
Super Dodgeball.
You ever play that game?
What's that?
Do you ever play that game?
No, no.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't even describe it. It's just dodgeball, badass. But like you can play as the Russians and this huge guy named Brutus and stuff, but they all look like squatty little fat characters. Like what is that, Senior Piss Pants? Who's the piggy bank you had?
Senior
the guy
Piss
had his,
yeah.
His wiener out.
Oh, what was that guy's name?
Senior Piss Pants, I think is what I call him.
That's close enough.
But
some was it Korean?
I think so.
Some weird Korean piggy bank with a dude with his pants down and his schlong hanging out like he was about to take a leak. So weird.
Yeah. But they all look like that guy.
They all look like that dude, except for their schlong out.
Yes.
It's not called Dodge Balls. Dodge my balls.
Dude, you should get it, though. I'm thinking about getting it. Maybe I'll just get it and then bring my Wii.
Matt got that
over.
Force Unleashed.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance at it yet, but I've been watching him play it. That game looks like it could be pretty fun.
I beat it.
Yeah, oh, you already beat it?
I beat it and sold it to Jeff.
Jesus, that game came out like a week ago. Like literally a week ago today.
Yeah, I know. I beat it on Friday.
And you just thought there's no replay value?
No, because there's no online play. But I have to tell you, the storyline is fucking phenomenal.
Cool.
I love the storyline.
Very cool. I'm looking forward to playing it. Like, I'm waiting for him to finish.
Uh-huh.
I have a lot of time on my hands, so I think I can...
You could do more than one save game.
Oh, no, I'm waiting for him to finish because he's taking up the TV.
Oh. You have your quarter on the screen waiting for him.
Yep. You go. You know, I'm next.
That's
but
cool.
It looked badass. So you enjoyed it, huh?
I enjoyed it.
What was the deal with, I was watching him play it, and you can get different crystals for the different colored lightsabers.
Yeah.
And it says that they have different properties, but it won't tell you what?
The colors, I think, are purely cosmetic.
Okay.
But then there's a separate crystal or some kind of other piece that tells you what it does.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So
the way it was presented, I thought it was like different colors have different properties, so enjoy. I hope you know what they are. And I was like, I don't want to figure that out. You tell me which one's good at deflecting. And
there's crystals. There's color crystals, and then there's colored energy battery something energy cores, and those tell you what they do. And I seriously think they're just cosmetic,
mostly cosmetic. Okay.
Yeah,
because I was trying to think like what kind of properties a different lightsaber could have. Like, is it better at cutting than a regular lightsaber? I hope not.
I don't know, but I was going with blue.
Yeah,
is my that's the one they're using the cutscenes.
It doesn't catch up to whatever you're holding.
I don't think so.
That's kind of
because I was using red. Well, it's always like cutscenes aren't like.
Oh no, I've played games. I think that's Samonosuke game.
But those are like in-game cutscenes where they use the same cinematics from the game to do the cutscenes. This is like full on. A different company created these cutscene for.
And it's an animation. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not pulling your character profile from.
Yeah.
Whatever you've got saved right now.
There was the storyline's fucking awesome.
There was one where Onimusha, where it was like you could wear a giant panda suit. You remember that?
Yeah.
Like something you can unlock, and then even that showed up in the cutscenes.
I wonder when they're going to make one of those for a PS3.
That franchise went on for a while, huh? They had like three games or something.
Yeah, and I remember the graphics looking awesome for like a PS2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's one of the ones that's backwards compatible, and if it is, if Matt still has it, and if he does, can I play it? Because I liked that game.
Yeah.
And
if so, give it to me.
If so, let's do it. Do all those things that I said, in that order. Well, dude, I think that's it. I'm going to go get some carnitas.
All right. Sounds good. We have, like, a shitload of calls.
Okay.
2 months worth, so go ahead and listen to that. We have karaoke, which is a long list. I think we're going to do some listener shows.
Yeah.
And then I might do a karaoke dance party.
Oh,
which
cool.
Which is a fancy way
of
saying, we're sorry you have to wait so long to hear your karaoke that you gave us 2 months ago.
So
or probably like 4 months ago. So
here they are.
So here they are.
Just all in
order. But yeah. I guess, what's our number? 206-338-4261.
That's 206-338-4261.
Send us email, darmlars@gmail.com. Check our MySpace page.
myspace.com/darmalaras.
Yes, and buy some shirts.
Yeah, and you can do all of it at darmalaras.net.
Yes. Which I forgot. We can just say the one thing.
It's totally on my iPhone with its own special little icon, and that's cool.
Yeah, and now what Ryan told me is that when you go to the video on your iPhone version of the Darmalaras page, that it'll open up in the YouTube.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
The YouTube format.
That's
way. So as far as we're concerned, when we do the videos, we don't have to also send them the QuickTime.
Oh, good.
And then for you people, you can just like...
You can just watch it.
Just watch it.
Oh, I should probably throw together a video one of these days.
You want to do it?
Yeah, I'll do a video.
Okay.
I'll do something. So look out for that, guys.
Yeah, and then that's it. That's all I have.
All right. Well, do you want to go out on a line? We've been so open format.
I know. I don't even know. Like, I can't even think of a movie to go out on.
Go out on Dark City. What's that famous line from that movie?
You know.
Damn you.
Okay, I'll do that one. I'll do that.
Doesn't Bumstead say that? Damn you, Jennifer Connelly.
Yes.
All right, guys. Thanks for coming along for Freeform, and I hope we'll do another one sometime soon.
Lars de la Vista. I forget how it goes. Damn you. Isn't that what John Hurt says? Damn you, Jennifer Connelly.
You know, guys, that's a great movie. Go see it. Should rent that.
See you guys.
Hey, what's up, Ralph or Finn? This is Dre calling out of LH. So, Comic-Con is here. I'm kidding all my posts with the, from the Twitters and the things of that nature. So, you know, Ralph's doing an excellent job of keeping everybody up with the updates and the whatnot. Okay. So, next year, for one, I think that is a great idea to, you know, to have a pre-Comic-Con thing. So, yeah, you know, we can, you know, get our shit together so we can all get out there, you know. So that's a good idea. Okay, so yeah, my main reason why I called was because last weekend I saw quite possibly, I think, I can't remember if I called before, but the greatest, I mean, I haven't seen Hellboy yet, and, you know, I haven't seen Wanted, but The Dark Knight. I've seen The Dark Knight. And no spoilers here, buddy. No spoilers here. Even though I think if you haven't seen The Dark Knight, you should just go and, like, you know, just go now. You know. But I have no doubt that you guys have already seen it. Greatness. 2 hours and 30 minutes of greatness. I personally, you know, I wasn't all on, you know, with the hype thing and all that other stuff. I liked the Batman Begins. So I kind of figured out I liked this one too. My thing is, I didn't know. I thought it was really about, you know, mainly with the, you know, I stayed away from the all the spoilers and all that stuff, and, you know, a lot of talking about the movie. I didn't really want to watch any of the trailers because I felt like, you know, nowadays trailers, they give the whole damn movie away in the trailer. So I didn't want to see anything, okay? So, you know, I go in there, I stroll, I'm minding my business. I didn't go with my partner in crime. I actually went with my little brother, you know. So here we are, and I'm sitting there. Oh, God. So, Lance got this Cineplex called Cinemex or Cineplex or 22. It's no AMC. It isn't an Edwards. But it's okay. I mean, you know, it is not IMAX, but you know. So I guess this is the best that they have to offer out here. So, okay. So, yeah. So the movie was great. It should have been longer. I loved it. I didn't know. Oh, my original thought. I didn't know that the focus was, even though it was all throughout the movie, I didn't know that it was going to be that heavily focused on, you know, Harvey. I didn't know that. I thought it was all about, you know, the Joker, you know what I'm saying? And greatness all around. I mean, every damn body. I like how you had the Scarecrow in there, and you know what I'm saying? They took Mark Hill over, and then he was just not like he was good. I loved all that shit. Everybody was great in here. Every fucking body. Even fucking Zeus. I remember Zeus when he was going the whole party and get Hogan, and you know, one of the best scenes of that damn movie, the whole bar, and you know, was when Hogan turned around and he ripped the guy out of the limousine, and he was like, doing all these face grunts. The guy goes, he was like, and then Hogan looked at him, he goes, "What's that smell?" And the dude goes, "Dookie." Fucking awesome. So anyway, Zeus with his metal things going around clanging and breaking Hogan down. That's the Zeus I remember. So anyway, the tiny Zeus Lester or whatever like that. Who I mean, you know, he's been in some flicks or whatever. I ain't seen him in a while. And I'm glad he, you know, he showed his face up in this one. And, you know, at no point in time did I feel that I was watching Heath Ledger, you know, acting the part. I felt like, oh, you know, like it is. If you never knew this guy, you wouldn't even, you know, he played the part like fucking awesome. Fucking awesome in a box. God, I love this movie. I'm going to see it again. Okay, so I've seen it once that day, and then I turn around, I've seen it again. And I think I'm going to go see it for a third time, you know. You know, because of the fact that it was just fucking banging. You know, so good shit for all. That's really all I got. Hopefully everybody, you know, you get some cool little swag out there. I see you say you was in the Hasbro line. I'm wondering what the hell did you get out of there? You know what I'm saying? If you see Jack Black, because I heard that he's supposed to be there, hey, tell him that, you know, we need another Tenacious D movie or another DVD or something, damn it. What's up, Lars? It's great. I'm out of L.A. Tired. Wall-E with the little one, you know. So, we liked it. It was good. It was good. Okay. Yeah. Besides that, I'm at work, so you're going to hear a lot of heavy shit out of here. You know, love the Comic-Con show, you know. That was great, you know. I don't know. Where's the show, guys? We need the show. I understand you all got lives, but, you know, Work every day now and all this other stuff, And then, you know, take all that. But anyway, my point of calling is because, okay, this week, you know, you got the new J.J. Abrams joint Fringe coming out, Fringe, you know, and stuff like that. You know, the big to-do with the whole wrestling thing this weekend, you know, the scrambles and stuff. So I got a lot of content that I got to watch this week, not including the term, you know, the stuff that's going to keep me occupied while Lost is gone. So I think I might have to, you know, turn off a couple of days or something, you know. So I don't know. I think I'm going to actually have to call out probably Tuesday, you know, or something like that. I don't know. So hopefully you guys talk about Friends or something also. So I got it. Peace.
Hey, guys. Dark Knight. Awesome movie. Not going to beat it to death because I'm sure you guys have already talked about how great it is. One thing, though. That guy, Nestor Carbonell, whatever his name is, who plays Richard Alpert, still wearing eyeliner as the mayor of Gotham City. What's up with that?
Hey, Carmela, this is Karen from San Francisco. I am drunk yet again and walking up a very steep hill to my house. I just want to say that I miss you guys so much. You guys should record more often. I know you guys have, like, real lives, but it makes me happy to hear you on my iPod and stuff like that. I want to know if you guys saw The Fringe. That was pretty cool. JJ is pretty awesome, but I feel like he's kind of repeating some stuff with having Michael Giacchino doing his music and the whole 3D letters. And, come on, starting with an airplane crash, very Lost-like, but Lost is the best show in the world, just about, so there you go. I guess I'm just rambling now, because I am rather drunk, trying to get home. I miss you guys, and I hope you guys record pretty soon once your lives get into, like, I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. Well, I hope to hear from you soon. Bye.
Hey, Darmalars, it's Lirio in Montreal. I'm finally getting over my Comic-Con hangover. Had way too much fun. It was great meeting you guys, having lunch, walking around the exhibit hall floor, checking out different forums, watching you guys up there with Jen and Ryan and Jay and Jack at the what seemed to be like an impromptu round table discussion along a very long rectangular table about Lost, narrated by that guy from Metrobus. Must say, really appreciated your hospitality and genuineness as awesome people. Had a lot of fun. Felt more than welcome as a listener, just, you know, hanging out with you guys and discussing Lost and other things. I must say, for all of you people listening who thought about going to Comic-Con and decided, you know, it's not, the timing's not right, it's too expensive, go. Go. You have to go to Comic-Con. Comic-Con, this is from a first-timer, was overwhelming with things to see, things to do, things to catch your breath from. Crowds are kind of cool, kind of awesome, kind of really frustrating, but, you know, waiting in line, meeting people was just awesome. How many Batman and Robins and Spider-Men can you actually see in one place? It's really quite amazing. And for those of you who like boobies, there's lots of gratuitous cleavage, so that alone should justify the plane trip if you're coming in from far. I got to tell you, being able to stand outside the Dark Horse Comics booth waiting for Bruce Campbell, who was obligated contractually to sign only Dark Horse Comics products, waiting for him to come out of that booth after eating his sandwich and begging and pleading him to sign the Chins book from the Blogspot and getting him to do so was by far the greatest moment of my non-family related life. That book is in my house and will remain here until I'm finished reading it and will be put back up for grabs at the Blogspot as soon as I am done with it. Again, it was wonderful to hang out with you guys. Comic-Con was amazing. I hope to see more people, more listeners, meet more people next year. I'm definitely going next year. And it was great to meet Harmony and Ben's dad and brother of Ben. Producer Ryan laughs better in person than he does on the Darmalars. And Ralph, of course, the Angels are doing not so bad right now, aren't they? Anyway, I've rambled on long enough. I think that's for another podcast. Thanks again, and we'll be calling back next week with some Lars or Lost-related stuff. Take care.
Prepare to be blown away by Ralph and Ben. The Darmalars starts in boobies, titties, penis, vagina. The Darmalars starts now.
Hey, Darmalars, this is Mark from Chicago. I have a theory on Lost and what it is. I haven't heard it anywhere. I'm not sure if it's out there on the message boards, but my theory is that the island exists in the future, and if you leave the island, you can't die. Michael couldn't die. Jack, you know, wasn't going to jump off the island. Ben couldn't kill Widmore. Because if you've already existed in the future, you know, the island, then you can't die in the present, if that makes sense. If you already traveled to the future and existed in that time, well, then you couldn't die in the present because then you would have never existed in the future. And it creates kind of a paradox. I just wondered what your thoughts were. Take it easy.
Hey, guys. This is the first time for calling, but I've been listening to you all for a long time. My name's Aaron in Chicago, and I had two things. Number one, I'm sure you guys saw Dark Knight, and I'm surprised that you haven't mentioned it at all. But being in Chicago, you know, we got to see a lot of the filming, and turns out that lower whacker scene that they did with the Batmobile down there and turning it into the motorcycle, that was all filmed actually down there, and they were doing 30 miles an hour. So, yeah. Thought that was interesting. Second thing, okay, about Faraday, you know how he's a little eccentric on the show and he talks in that kind of like whispery voice and, you know, like that? Well, I was watching Solaris, the other night and noticed that Faraday was in, I don't know the actor's name, and he talks exactly like that, and I'm kind of wondering if he's like that in real life, if that's not an acting thing, if that's just how he is. Any insight? Thanks. Hopefully I'll hear you all soon. Bye.
Hey, Darmalars, it's Don from Houston, Texas. So I'm watching some Nightline. I've had a couple beers, and I'm just chilling out, and I've been thinking, damn, Lost is going to be over in like two more seasons, and what the hell is going to happen? Anyway, I'm sure a whole bunch of people have already mentioned it or have talked about it, but like the series finale, dude, we need to have like a Lost-a-palooza and like figure out how like all those Lost fanatics can get together and watch the final series episode. Like, maybe figure out, like, a centralized location where we can, like, all get together and geek out, like, in a total geek fest. So, if I'm completely nuts, well, so be it. But what do you think? Anyway, be looking forward to your next podcast. Late.
Hi, guys. This is Daryl from L.A. I'm just calling. I'm a regular listener of the Jay and Jack podcast, but I saw you guys at Comic-Con on the panel, and I really enjoy what you guys say, so I'm definitely going to be subscribing to your podcast and start listening pretty soon. I also wanted to give out I think it was Ben who said the joke about the pilot from Lost, who's the actor in Heroes, his mustache turned into a scorpion and ran away. I don't know if anyone else heard that joke. I did. Laughed my ass off. Very, very funny. Love that sense of humor. I just want to give you a credit for a great joke that I don't think anyone else heard. Maybe no one else laughed. I don't know. They might not have found it funny, but I did. It was great. So I'll be listening, and thanks again for coming to Comic-Con. I can't even say it. And giving your opinions about Lost. Appreciate it. Take care.
What up, Lars? This is Desiree from Pensacola. first off, I want to say it was really cool meeting you guys at Comic-Con. I had such a great time. I cannot wait till next year. It was awesome. Really cool that I got to meet Crush. Jealous, Ralph. Anyways, the other thing I want to tell you guys was I just watched The Forbidden Zone, which, oh, yeah, I met Richard Elfman at Comic-Con, too. Got a picture of him. Anyway, we just watched The Forbidden Zone outside on the big inflatable screen, and it was the most pointless movie I've ever seen in my life. It was so dumb, but the funniest part is the guy, I think it, the Gramps, the ex-wrestler guy with the beard and everything, he looked like Ralph with his beard and his little hat, and I laughed every time he was on screen because he reminded me of Ralph. Anyways, love the podcast. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
So I'm trying to send you guys a fax, but it's not working. It's probably a good thing because I'm in Las Vegas right now, and I'm looking at these two chicks with these big white fuck-me boots and these short little skirts. It's one chick, I swear to God, she's not wearing underwear, and you can see the bottom of her ass hanging out of the skirt. But when you look at their faces, you wonder how old they really are. I don't know if it's a lot of makeup and a lot of sun, but it's kind of that butterface situation going on. But anyway, you guys rock, and I'll talk to you later.